It's time for the second funniest podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. We're going to try. Hello and welcome to the second funniest podcast. This is episode 332. I'm your host, Justin Wersch. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the early adopter, the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button. Kevin, do you need my inhaler?
Hi, Justin.
Oh, I'm a little lightheaded.
A little lightheaded for that bit. May have heard Kevin breathing over the beginning of the intro, and it took me forever to realize it to turn down his mic. Ooh. We don't leave the mics open. Little behind the scenes pre-show heads up. We do not turn the mics up. We turn them up when it's time for us to start talking, so you don't get any room noise or anything like that.
Except for this time.
We're all about your ears, listeners.
Yep.
We're all about your ears. Even that soothing you.
So speaking of microphones and all about our ears and room noise, Sunday night was two nights ago.
Sunday was two nights ago.
And Monday was last night.
Yes.
And I had a
These are the days of our weeks.
I had a McDonald's audition, so I was in my bedroom in Hollywood, California. And
I'm loving it.
Exactly. Every time I do a McDonald's audition,
I'm loving it.
The bottom of it always says, just says, the ba-dup-da's. And you're supposed to know what that is. And you're like, ba-dup-dup-da-da. And then that's
They want you to say that?
No.
Oh, they say this is
It's in the copy. So it just says, you know.
This is how this is going to happen.
Yeah, and then at the end it just says, the ba-dup-da's. And you're like, ba-dup-dup-da-da.
It's my favorite band.
So I'm in my little tiny, what was my bedroom before Catherine moved in, it is now my man cave, which we put a sofa chair in there for her. So I I'm sitting in there recording, and
he's such a modern man.
I know. Well, I gotta have her in there. Otherwise,
it's my man cave. There's a sofa chair for my wife.
Yep. Okay, she gets into things. That way
And there's a window treatment. But other than that, it's old man.
It's where we play Guild Wars together. So she's allowed in as long as she's got the laptop open and has her 14 monk elementalist playing in Alonia. Anywho,
And is wearing the Counselor Troy uniform.
Oh, dear God. Let's all just give me a moment for that.
That's right, honey. You keep walking. You're going to earn your own pips.
That is pretty freaking hot. That's what happened to Troy. Are you talking like original?
You have a red Federation outfit.
No, I have a yellow one.
But why not just throw her?
I don't know if it'll fit her because it was made for, you know, 17-year-old Kevin Miller, who was a stickly little boy.
That's what I'm saying. You want it snug. It's not a stretchy material?
No. My mom made it. It's just like Plylon, is that a word? But if those fans of
didn't know your mom made that.
Oh, yeah, that yellow
one. You bought that.
No, she made it.
Mom is awesome.
She was pretty cool. She just got the pattern and everything. Do you remember that woman that worked at Great America who's I came to work in it once as a joke? Like, oh, I came in this uniform. And she's like, and she made a point of saying, well, it's not really what the shows look like. I was hurt by that. And I was like, it's pretty close. And she's like, oh, okay. Remember this woman? She was in her 50s working at Great America as a costume
character. Is this Trisha's mom?
No, she was this old lady. It was my first year, your second year. Oh. Anyway, so she's like, it was 1997. She's like, oh, well, let's
was
do
it Judy?
Nope. Oh. She's like, let's
June.
Do nope.
Sally.
Maybe.
Would you like me to stop?
Yes. Okay. Agatha. So she's like, let's do a photo shoot. And so she takes me out with her little point-and-shoot camera, and it was 1997. So she then went and paid for all the photos to be developed and then brought them in. And she's like, oh, here's photos from our photo shoot. So I went around backstage of Great America in my uniform and did, like,
I remember this
poses.
Pictures.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were shot by her.
So, and they were, she's like, see, these, it's not the right color. See this? You can have these.
Oh, I see. What her point? Because they used to do this thing where the outfits that they had for the Vulcans were a weird color that when you shot it on camera, looked different. Like the magenta color wasn't really magenta.
Right, because it's under special
lighting.
So the
Vulcans had to deal with this issue because we had essentially the extra costumes.
So my mom...
Not just, extras in more, extras in for extras.
Backgrounds, which is what all our makeup was, even though we were closer than any camera was ever on set.
We were what did they call it, the B level?
C-level. We were background.
No, we were B, I think.
No, we were C. C-level makeup.
Because they had A level, which was... Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
A level was like the guys, like Quark. B level was like a guest role.
Yeah, exactly.
Quick one off.
Yeah, yeah.
One
where
line.
Like, they have, and there's like maybe eight of those, and they just make it work. And then there's C where they just put that on. Just walk. Don't. No one's gonna look at you.
You're rack focused. You'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. So, so she gives me all those, and I'm like, my mom just picked out a yellow that looked like it in the store.
Jerk.
Terrible.
I hate people like that.
Exactly. But the joke's on her, because then the last year we did Star Trek, the week before, at Paramount's Great America, if you remember, our crazy boss let me bring that costume in, and Chris Goodrum, who listens to the show, put it on so he could reprise his Vulcan character, and I got to be the world's only 5'8" Klingon.
Yes! Unless you're playing a 12-year-old Klingon, maybe.
And that's what I was. I was David Maddox's son.
You were a kid?
I was a young Klingon.
That's
and I
the
was
best.
Like, I am Kogar. Or no, it wasn't Kogar. It was Karkin. I am Karkin.
You guys had so much fun. I was jealous of you guys. That
really?
Year. Oh, yeah.
Because we felt like we were shunted into a closet.
No,
those
I was like, because I was like, that's what I was doing, and it was fun. Like, you know,
yeah.
Not, but it just, it was fun at Nickelodeon, but it was different. Like,
yeah,
it was,
yeah, yeah. You were doing a show.
People like, I don't know. There was a show. It wasn't just some guys who really like Star Trek goofing around. That's
yeah,
what I always
exactly.
liked about doing Star Trek.
And see, that's the thing that I've learned from my job at the church is it's all about that department could have been so incredible mm-hmm. with the right person with the right vision. If you had somebody in management that understood, like if we came in now and you said, I want you to direct some Star Trek guys, it would be the most successful show in a park because I'd be able to get the great stuff out of people, make it fun and make them love it,
mm-hmm.
thereby making the park guests love it, thereby creating a demand.
Because we would be able to find a nice balance between finding stuff that true hardcore fans would mm-hmm. really appreciate and enjoy, as well as still making it just a picture thing.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean?
Which
that's
is,
all it really had to be.
And
it's
that's the punchline. That's that's the souvenir. Yeah. So we do all this stuff. And now, here's the coup de grace. Your souvenir, our picture, and good day to you.
You are welcome.
On to the... And this is how my Ferengi talk?
Yeah.
That is not true.
It was muddled because of the teeth.
Yeah. We should do a show with our Ferengi teeth. Do you still have some?
I don't know. I don't keep stuff like that, unfortunately.
Oh, man, I have your set still.
Huh? I love you so much.
I had you sign it.
That's funny.
Why did we start talking about Star Trek?
I somehow got you... Oh, your man cave. You were describing your house.
Yes!
And then I said...
Oh, you're talking
Guild
about
Wars.
Deanna Troi.
Yeah.
You know, well, the first five seasons of Star Trek, she was in, like, Deanna Troi. Marina Sirtis was in like a dress.
She's hot.
Just a gown. Well, that was the problem is she just looked like she was hanging out in a muumuu on this starship. And then in
I
the
I do remember this
exactly.
part. Yeah. She
and
almost
then,
had like the Whoopi Goldberg outfit type thing.
And that was the thing cuz remember it started in 1987. So they tend to do
why
anything.
Why would you want to hide that gorgeous figure?
And that's what they did is that in the fifth season Picard went away for a few episodes. The storyline was he left the Enterprise and some other captain came in and just changed the hell out of everything. And the first thing he did is like after nailing all these rules and Deanna Troi being like, well, it's his ship now. We have to learn to adapt. He goes, and you have to be in uniform. And she's like, wah, 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 wah. But then she puts on that uniform.
And the gentleman at home went, wah, 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 wah.
And no one looked back.
Ba-da-da-da-da.
I'm loving it. Because Picard walked back on that ship and was like, yeah, you can keep that on. That looks pretty good on you.
Did he really have a moment like that?
No, but I'm saying like it must have off camera because she never got to go back to her little gown.
No, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that probably what happened is somebody somewhere was like, hey, we need to have a hot chick. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, no, I think it was a little bit
maybe it was supposed to be Beverly Crusher, because there was in the beginning that love interest that kind of...
And she was hot, too.
No, I'm not saying she wasn't, but I'm just saying it seemed that wasn't like... I'm not saying this chick isn't attractive.
No, we know
that I have a type, and it is older women.
Yeah.
But I think that when you're looking at producing a show, that it's like, let's get the two oldest characters, male and female, and let's have them be the sexual tension.
And I also think... Yeah, no kidding.
Nobody wants to see that.
I also think it was a little bit of like... Late 80s, there was a different style. You remember in the very the pilot episode in The Next Generation, the men are in skirts to show the evolution of dress. And then they're like, that's weird. Don't ever do that again. Gene Roddenberry was also still alive. So he would fight for these really weird ideas, these concepts. Then he died and the show was taken over by other guys. And I think they kind of looked around and went, you know, it doesn't really make sense. It's like the early 90s now. It's like, you know, it doesn't really... Why is she in a muumuu? Let's get her into... But I'm saying
especially
in the context
with that
of the
figure,
show.
Those hips. Ugh. Man.
But in the context of the show, it's like, why didn't she go back to wearing her dress-down uniform whenever she felt like? And I think it's because Picard's like, You should probably...
My eyes are up here, Kevin.
Captain on deck. That's what I think went down. So I was in my room auditioning.
My loins are at impulse power 4.
That's like warp 1.
Yeah,
you can't be at 4 impulse. It's either quarter impulse.
That's
half
what she
impulse,
said.
Or full impulse. There's no 4 impulse.
Beam me up.
Your Tom Likas voice is my favorite. So I'm in my room auditioning. In the middle of this read for this McDonald's thing, this party starts outside of my window, and I look down 4 stories below us in the backyard, 2 apartments across from us, is just this whole rocking party just going out. And because of the way the buildings are built in Hollywood, one of the noisiest cities in the world, they make them out of paper. So it's like I'm auditioning and there's people in the room with me screaming, yelling, music is going on. So to audition, I'm like this on the microphone. I love this breakfast sandwich. This is a delicious, fluffy, flaky biscuit.
I like his voice. He sounds really intense, though. Yeah. He sounds like he's over.
You should definitely buy this sandwich from McDonald's.
Hopefully. So, because I didn't want anybody else to.
At any point while you're doing this, do you ever just feel like putting in the worst audition ever?
Yes.
Right?
There's been a few times.
Just to entertain yourself?
Well, I have an audition.
Reading stage direction and the footnote of... print 1 of 2.
Oh man,
September 13th.
I wouldn't do there, but I was invited by some guys up in Granada Hills to do an improv workout with them, and they were just talking me joining the show. And I really thought that I would come in there, and the first scene I'd do would be like, "Oh yeah, hey grandma, what you got a gun?" No, you're crazy, Grandma. And just watch their reactions and be like, I'm just messing with you. I'll do some real improv now. But they were all cool guys. And I was like, I don't need to mess with anybody here. And I don't really have the guts for that kind of thing. But I told them the far as I could get was that I came and they're like, oh, so what kind of improv you done? I'm like, I've never done any. It's just they asked me to come and they're like, wow. Like, no, I'm messing with you. I'm kidding. I've been doing it longer than you've been alive.
Suck it.
Yeah.
You go the opposite. Yeah, exactly. You overboard it now. Yeah, I'm like,
Yeah. He said he can't show it to me, but he's got a gun.
I've never asked a question ever.
In any scene ever. I have never denied a single idea. In fact, I have ideas before you do.
What?
That's a question.
Here's something that I can't believe while you're looking at that I didn't talk about.
What is it about a breakfast sandwich? Or are you gonna? Do you like to get a sausage egg McMuffin?
McGriddle.
I go McGriddle. Now I can hear you.
Now.
And then while you're doing that, you're...
this is take 2. Come get a fresh berry smoothie.
Don't upstage me on my audition. It was a better read than I gave. What the F is your problem?
Fresh berry smoothie.
I would love to get a commercial. Okay, now I'm going to find some copy for some voiceover auditions while we're talking. But I finished Infamous on Evil.
Oh.
And here's how Daddy did it, because I had 5 days in San Antonio performing at the River Center Comedy Club.
I just need to go to San Antonio.
And I had no children, and it was 100... What happened?
You almost made Chuck come out of my nose. How many years have I known you? And that's the closest I've ever gotten.
Oh, no, I feel like I've made stuff come out of your nose before.
No, that's not. Never? That's a rarity for me.
What, I didn't even do anything fun. This is the point of our relationship
and it's
now.
Chai.
Me not being funny is funny to you. Like, yes. Whatever I'm not
funny.
That
was funny.
I have no children. And it was 105 degrees outside, which means I have no outside.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to crank. I brought all my games, and I was like, I'm going to crank this out.
Nice.
And I didn't do.
And you were in a comedy hotel the whole time, right?
Condo...
So you're just punching the drywall the whole time you're playing.
Some guy's doing McDonald's commercials next door.
Did you get a fresh smoothie?
Yeah.
McDonald's has got a great
Infamous 2 Evil.
Now that's, I'm going to go home and do that. I'm going to submit that audition even though I don't have an audition for McDonald's tonight.
Just working at McDonald's. Infamous True Evil.
This is Kevin Miller. Take two.
I think we're punchy, but I love it.
I don't think they'd call me back.
No, come on. But they...
So Infamous 2 Evil.
So I finished Infamous 2 Evil, and I didn't do any of the side missions. That's how I got through it so quick. I took your advice where you said you could probably do it in an afternoon if you didn't do the side missions.
But how did you pull it off without all the upgrades and better weapons, you know, powers and all that kind of stuff? It's hard. Were you on hard or easy?
Well, I started off on medium or normal or whatever.
And then it kicked you up to hard.
Kicked me up to hard. And then I just started dying every time, so I kicked it back down to medium, and then it was fine. Never had an issue.
There are different enemies on hard.
Here's what we're going to do. Right now, we're at almost 16 minutes. So if
what have we been talking about?
If you go 2 minutes, I guarantee you that in 2 minutes, so what's that? 18, go to 18 minutes, and I will stop talking about Infamous 2's ending or whatever, but unless you don't want me to.
Talk about it at all?
Well, yeah, like talk about the ending.
Don't ruin it.
I won't ruin it. Well, I guess here's what I'm going to say. I'm not going to ruin anything.
Well, I know you get to choose anyway. Mm-hmm. I know the story. I mean, that's the thing about it. It's not a truly branching storyline.
Yeah, it's either or.
It's a path.
It's Two-Face.
You're kind of zigzagging between good and bad.
But this one, I thought, was more interesting than the last one.
Yeah.
I can say that without really spoiling anything. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like... I don't know that I, like, for anybody who hasn't played the game, I think that maybe do it on evil first, maybe, I would say. I don't know. Like, it's a different...
Is it different enough?
I would do good first still.
Because the impression I got from playing the first one on evil, after playing it on good and played it on evil, it felt like they went, okay, here's our story, here's the whole thing, and then we can make some of these bad. But the story doesn't really change.
No.
And the evil missions... The problem I have with the game, the only problem I have with the game, is that the evil side isn't in context. Like, there's all these places where it's super pivotal that this one person survives, yet there is no penalty at all for just killing hundreds of people walking around.
Yeah.
And then suddenly this one is a critical point in the story.
Yeah, I don't understand why I could be jovial with, I already forgot his name, Zeke.
Right, yeah,
I could be jovial with Zeke while looking like a walking zombie.
Yeah, yeah, and then literally go
downstairs. And I don't want to sound like I'm jumping up their, on their case or being overly critical.
Suck the life out of somebody else.
Yes.
And I think that the reason why, and they probably would agree with this, is that it's too difficult to program two separate games within it.
I'm going to backtrack real quick on what I said. Definitely play it on good first before you play it on evil, because there is a battle that you do at the end of the
evil.
Is it
a rap battle?
That having played it on good just makes it really intense. It made it intense for me, I think. Like, and maybe I'm a big girl. I don't know. But
there's one way to check.
What's that?
To see if you're a big girl.
You going to lift my leg?
Yep, here we go.
Oh.
You're a guy. That was
emotionally
close.
I'm a girl.
It was really close to my face.
The but yeah, I think it's what I was going to say is that there's a really intense battle that you have, and it's emotionally intense, which I thought was like I was playing it going, really well done, guys.
Yeah,
like, really
oh, that's great.
Really well done on that. I really appreciated the emotional, I don't think it's too often that you get emotionally invested in a game. It seems to me that it's still there's a lot of art forms where it's just kind of like I'm teetering. Like, for instance, started playing Metal Gear Solid 4, right? So, because I was like, I think I'm gonna pick this up again, and because I didn't give it enough credit, I'm borrowing it from a friend. I'm like, why not, And I really started to like it, and then I realized why I didn't like it is that there's a lot of, like, crawling around slowly, so that you can watch 4.5 minutes of cutscenes that look beautiful. And I noticed also that I didn't play 3. I don't think I played 3, and so there's a lot missing in the story for me that I'm kind of like, but I still can enjoy it visually. It's visually awesome. And still there's...
I hate those moments. Metal Gear Solid is infamous for this, being like, is there a game in this movie?
Yeah.
Like, where do I get
to
start
using the
controller?
But I felt like when it first came back to the next generation consoles, it wasn't that.
It was
about sneaking around and having these cute, fun things, like hiding in a box was really cool as a way of like, it was just a new way of playing a game where the idea was not to engage the enemies.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which I thought was really I don't know. I just thought it was great.
Absolutely, because that was the thing. I've been playing the first Uncharted, which has been a lot of fun based on everybody's recommendations. And that's a movie that you really do play. I see everybody's love for it. But I got to one of those puzzles where I was like, okay, I get that I'm supposed to do something. And then suddenly I felt like a shark in that the only my only tool to interact with the environment is to shoot. Mm-hmm. Just like a shark, the only thing they can do with their environment is to bite. And, it's like, you know, and then eventually I figured out the other tool that my shark has is to jump on things. That's what Drake can do. He can either shoot or jump. And he doesn't even have to press the circle button. And I was like, you know, I wish I could play more games where the way you interact with the environment isn't so just one note, like you're either violent or it sounds like you can just sneak around in boxes and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and this game, so what my point was is that in watching the story, I remembered going back and playing the first Metal Gear and being kind of like, this is really cool how theatrical this was.
Right,
like
yeah,
it
yeah.
was a motion picture and those opening sequences with that great score. Mm-hmm. I'd forgotten how good that Kojima guy is at this. And
he's
but
like
then
a pro.
There's a lot of humor that's thrown into it that it's you definitely here's what I'm trying to say. You definitely get the feeling that it's very Japanese.
Yeah.
And as an American playing it, I can't really get into it.
Right.
I think it's why I also am not that into anime because it's too over the top, emotional and abstract that I want to connect.
Yeah.
And I can't relate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's a lot of like we used to joke about it when we worked at Webtoon was that you get these translations of English from Japanese to English and it's a direct translation and it's just phrasing that no one would ever say.
Right.
And they do that. There's a little bit of that in this game where it's like over the top exposition where it's like, wait, so you're the one that developed this technology, right? Yeah, Snake, I was, you know, and I built it, blah, 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 blah. And that's when Sunny, you remember when she did this, this,
right,
this,
right,
and this,
right.
You know, that kind of thing.
And I wonder if in Japanese that doesn't seem out of context.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think that's how they create films and stuff like that, that it's okay just to be weirdly abstract and not really like expositional instead of connecting and real and sincere, I guess. I don't know, but still.
We need some Japanese people to call in. 408-228-4911. Speak to us in Japanese. Or.
And we'll translate
Japish,
it to English awkwardly.
As you call it. Yeah.
But yeah, and I. So, like, there's this point in the game where the joke is that this guy is crapping in his pants, which I thought was kind of weird that it's like this heady type of concept of weird technology.
Yeah,
and then their
weird.
Attempted humor is like, oh my God, I've got diarrhea. Like, literally, that's what he says. And then he craps himself. And then for the rest of the game that I've played, at least, he's got a stain in the butt of his pants.
Wow.
And like flies are flying around him and stuff like that. And.
That's awesome.
It's just a weird, weird, weird attempt at humor that I didn't appreciate. And so it's interesting to go from playing the end part of Evil, where there's this intense emotional connection that I felt like I was in the game and living what, you know, Cole was going through. And I was like, oh, this is great. I really like this visceral reaction I have to going to play Metal Gear, which is a beautiful game. It would be so easy for me just to fall into this world. But that dialogue sucks me back out of it.
Yeah,
that weird diarrhea humor reminds me that it's like, oh, this is just a game.
Yeah.
And then there are like, but there's also like really cool like engineering things that they do where the game is broken into acts. And then I'm on act like towards the end of Act 2 now, I think. And it's really smart to make it so beautiful. What they do is they install each level onto your hard drive. So remember for a while, Metal Gear Solid used to have like really long load times.
A lot of people
complained about that. To take care of that, you have one like 3-minute load time that installs just that level. And
do
then
you play Pong or something while it's loading?
No, you watch him smoke and you watch funny little things about why you shouldn't smoke. And then there's serious like PSAs about you shouldn't play this game if you start experiencing headaches and la-di-da-di-da. And if you played for an hour, you should take a 15-minute break, or now's a good time to get up and stretch kind of thing. It tells you that kind of stuff. And
let's just play now.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just play now.
So, you know, you do that, and it takes like 3 minutes for it to install that level, and then you go into this beautiful game that's just really well executed visually. Like, it's just awesome. Mm-hmm. And I still love the idea of crawling around, and now there's this new dynamic. I'm talking about a game that's, what, 4 years old? At this point, three years old. But I like this idea of he has camouflage that if you lay in a certain spot, then your suit changes to match your surroundings.
That's kind of fun.
And there's all these other cool aspects to it, like you get stressed, you know, if you're psyche.
Oh, nice.
There's a psyche as well as a health meter.
Oh, that's good.
So if you get stressed from being exposed or too much or too often, or if you're sitting in the sun too often, then you start to get stressed. And when your stressed meter gets to a certain level, then you start to lose psyche. And when you start
and
to...
you're and more then, likely to be caught.
Yeah, you make noise, yeah. Like, because he's an old guy, and he goes, ah, and he'll hit his back because he's uncomfortable, and then guys are like, what? You know, and they come to find you and
that's
stuff.
That's funny, so you have to go relax, take a little nap.
But there's still a lot of fun in this idea. Like, I rolled around in a metal barrel, and you walk around in a metal barrel in this beautiful game. You just goon, 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 while you're hiding from guys in a metal, like, oil drum, and, you know, that's what I like about Metal Gear. That's
a little
what makes
goofiness
it fun.
To it. Yeah. I'll play that.
Yeah, it was a good time. It's a good time so far. I was mad that I've been home for 2 days now and I haven't been able to get back into it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I've been wanting to play Uncharted like crazy.
It's a fun game.
Like, get out. No, we don't need to eat tonight, honey. Let's just play some video games.
It's hard that we both have, like, I feel like I spent a lot of time before I was married and definitely when I had kids not playing video games.
Right.
And now, I don't know if it's because my life has kind of settled down enough to where that's what I've always enjoyed it.
Right.
But I wish I had that time back. You know? I wish I could go back and get that time of saying, let's get back into these games and play them more often.
You will when your son's old enough to hold a controller.
Oh, yeah.
But they,
can you imagine being able to come over?
Oh, it's going to be. What do you mean? It's going to be in a few years. Of course, I'll have a kid by then. Yep. My daughter is going to love video games. I mean, I remember in whatever ninth grade sitting around for an entire day playing SimCity.
Yeah.
For SimCity 2000. An entire day, like whatever, 8 hours, 10 hours building this city.
Do you think you could still do that today?
No. Yeah, absolutely not. I did it once about 3 years ago when I first discovered Guild Wars because I thought, you know what? All I want to do is play this game. I'm going to set aside an entire day and play it until I don't feel like playing it anymore. And I played it all day long. And then it started getting past the point where I'm like, I have to be up in like 6 hours. I should stop playing this game. So
but
it never.
I did that with Metal Gear while I was gone, where I'm like, I got to get up in 4 hours to get a cab to go fly home.
Yeah.
And when I get home, it's not like I'm going to be able to take a nap. I got to jump in with the kids.
Right.
So I'm like, you got to make it. So, and I played another hour and a half.
Good for you.
Because there's that part of me that's like, I could kill this. I could finish
this.
That's
it. Yeah.
I could do this.
Kat told me last night, she's like, oh, you're getting better at these games. You know, you used to talk about never finishing them because I wouldn't. And now I finish most games I attempt. I beat through.
You know, that's I think we talked about this at one point, maybe not before we made this format shift, but that there's a thing now that I read fairly recently within the last couple of years where video game companies are now making games because the guys like us that started off when consoles first came around and are the home, like essentially responsible for the death of the arcade and that we bought home consoles and that's what we grew up on.
Yeah.
That we are now growing up and have kids of our own, so we don't have the time to devote to like a game like a Final Fantasy that takes you 32 hours or whatever it is to finish it.
No, Final Fantasy is like an 80-plus hour game.
Yeah, so it's like we don't have that time. So and it's nice for the video game company because we're paying the same buck for a game that we could finish in 6 hours maybe.
Yeah.
And then they put in some side stuff if you're really into it deep, you know?
And that's why games like Little Big Planet work out so well because you can... I'll do that sometimes if Kat's got people over and I'm just killing time. I'll play a level and then I move on and it's not a big deal. I don't have to remember the story or whatever I was doing. But the opposite of, or the end of that spectrum are things on the iPad like Max and the Magic Marker. It's a really great side-scroller game in premise, but the controls are on the iPad, so they're kind of dumb. So there's just forward and jump, and then you can, at any moment in time, you can draw on the screen, and whatever you draw becomes part of the game. So if you draw like a teeter-totter, it becomes a real working object. You can build a ladder, you can build a teeter-totter and create a brick and make it drop and fling yourself up into the air. And it's a really great idea. Except for while you're playing it, the levels are like that fast. They just they last maybe 2-3 minutes. The point of them is to do speed runs, and like, well, that doesn't satiate that gamer in me. This is just a puzzle that's in a side scroller format. Like, how fast can I grab these? So somewhere in there, in the middle ground, is where, like, Little Big Planet is a good example where you can play it and then, okay, good, that was one level and that took 15 minutes or something. Whereas these games are like, beat it in two.
I'm curious about that, because while you're saying that, like, I was thinking that Little Big Planet isn't a game that I'm like, I got to get this, or I got to play this.
Well, you
know
what
I mean?
Well, it was free when
and I had it already, because I'm borrowing it from a friend, but at the same time, I was like, you know, but I guess I maybe this talking more on this story thing is that I'm really like I'm really happy to fight the urge to go get this DC Universe, and I'm pretty sure it's a pretty crummy game.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like I've heard a lot of people complain about it, but I just want to be. I'm at this weird phase where I want to be engulfed in a world.
Yeah,
and I want to just fall into it and just do that.
Why don't you come on over to Guild Wars? Come on, buddy. Come on, join us.
I don't know that I could. Like, it has to be very simple. Like I don't like too deep. You know, because I don't know.
Guild Wars isn't that deep.
But I guess I'm saying, like, I don't want to... I like to be able to go through all of the variations of things, too,
you
a
want
certain
a story.
Degree.
Well, that's going to be DC Universe,
yeah, I want
too.
A story. I want that.
But DC Universe isn't going to have a story, either. It's an MMORPG. Yeah. It's an MMORPG 2.
Uh-huh. 2.0? Oh, so they've improved.
Yeah, they've gotten better.
And I also think a big reason is that I got to see the a little bit of the Green Lantern missions that we spoke of on the show at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, I'd pay for that. Because I don't know what it is, but I ever since this movie...
Why don't you play a
I
Green
really
Lantern
love Green
game.
Lantern. Huh?
Why don't you just play a Green Lantern game?
What is this magic you speak of?
Well, you see, there are games designated just to Green Lantern.
Yeah, but...
Jump at Press
Here's
button.
The thing. I have a... I'm right in the crux. It's like, it's new love. The love I have for Green Lantern, you know? Where you don't want to mess it up. You don't want to show... I don't want to show Green Lantern too much of my flaws, you know, for fear that Green Lantern will run away to a bad boy. You know what I mean? And I will forever be stuck in the Green Lantern
Green
friend
Arrow.
Zone. You see what I'm saying? Mm. So now, I'm afraid that what if I go after this, you know, I make a move, essentially. Yeah. I go for second base with this Green Lantern game, and it turns out like Iron Man.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
Which is horrible. Why can't you download a demo? I'm sure there's one out there.
I like the way you think.
Yes, you're welcome. It wasn't hard.
I'm very easy to blow my mind, evidently.
But, you know, I when you say you want to get engulfed in a world, you want something... It sounds like you are looking for the MMORPG experience, because that's what Guild Wars is to me. It's like, I've got this one character, and I have an inventory of stuff, and when I play with this character. I'm working towards getting more stuff, more adventures, getting better units, better skills.
But to me, like the fantasy aspect of it, like the medieval, it is, that part is not appealing
and,
to me.
And I get that.
So, I like the superhero world, so maybe champions.
But that's what I'm suggesting to you is does that side of it sound appealing? The fact that, unlike Red Dead Redemption, or what's the longest game you've ever played?
Red Dead.
Yeah, and that's a game that just goes on and on and on.
And I loved it.
But
I
you're
loved
done,
it.
Right? You don't play it anymore.
Well, I want to do the Undead, because I bought all that when we...
I tried
I bought
for about,
it so I can...
about 10 minutes, I couldn't do it. I'm like, oh, this is so brutal.
Really?
It was just
hard or
dark. Just
oh,
dark.
Really?
Satanic.
Well, that gets me into it.
I'm sure. For the right person... I mean, some people like zombie stuff. I find it too satanic.
Like, it's gory or really...
Just dark.
Dark.
Yeah, it's no more gory than the rest of the game.
Yeah.
But just the conversations and the things that are happening, it's like... I'm not into that gruesome stuff anyway. And it's satanic. They pull no bones about it. It's demons and the dead are walking and all hell is loose. And it doesn't make me feel good about myself. But turn it off. I literally was like, well, that was $20. I'll never get back. Yeah. Should have got that at GameStop instead
of
the
DLC. Yeah, I always thought that about... It's interesting that I enjoy the Grand Theft Auto games.
Yeah.
But I don't really like... I've done it. I'm not going to, you know.
Yeah.
I like that me sharing this thing I'm about to say is like me saying I've been to a strip club. In that, I've picked up a hooker and then I've killed her and taken my money back. I've done that. But, you know, I wasn't happy about it. I wasn't proud. I wasn't proud about that time in my Grand Theft Auto life.
How graphic are those scenes? I mean.
Not very. Like, that's the thing about
it's
it, too. This is a thing that video game fans have said, oh, my God, how are we not talking about that? We need to talk about the Penn and Teller episode that we talked when I was up at my dad's cabin. I forgot. Have we done an episode since
I haven't seen it. Oh. I need to see it.
Okay. But anyway.
that's a teaser for an upcoming episode of the second funniest podcast.
What happens
that's enough review. Magic marker.
I don't even think... Oh, people are probably going, what is that noise in the background? I don't think it was loud enough. But anyway, for me, it's that thing that I think a lot of video game people thought, it's a funny little reflection on... a completely video game world in that here's an actual real illegal activity that you could participate in and a real, like, that isn't a part of the game, like a part of the designated mission, like a just happenstance thing that you can immorally make this choice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that appealed to people and that aspect of video gaming is this escape from reality, right? And that we started joking around with each other, we being the video game community, going, hey, you pick up a hooker and then you kill her and you get the money back. Because it's not like, it's not even a direct thing where it's like she charges you $5 and then you get $5 back, which be more of a, like, that would be like a complete connection. It's, she drops a random algorithm of money that anybody you kill in the world. But it's like, oh, those are just, you fill in the blanks. Go, those are some other Johns that you had. That's what I did when I did it one time. One time.
You had to do it to see if it was
interesting is that this is what people decide to jump on, and that it's really nothing. Like, even if you do, like, the, you know how you could point your gun out the window? The car starts rocking, and we've all seen it. You point your gun out the window, you just see the chick sitting in computer, like, robot dead form, looking straight out the car. She's not doing anything. You're not seeing anything graphic or anything like that. And you see your hand, but you see the car still shaking. And then, you know, then she just gets out of the car, and then you can hold your gun, and then boom, like that. So as far as the graphicness of it, it's just this weird immoral choice. And that I think, and this is kind of leaning towards the Penn and Teller thing, is that I think that it was interesting. I just now had this observation, is that I didn't like that.
Yeah.
That morally, I was, even the hookers, I'm like, these are ladies of the night. They're just trying to make a living. You know what I mean? They're just trying to get some oatmeal.
I agree. And that's what I think, why Infamous, kind of, to bring it back into that, kind of misses that mark, because you're allowed to do all these horrible things. I mean, horrible things. Sucking the soul life out of an innocent girl walking down Marina Del Rey or whatever that place is just seems like that's too far. Like, if you do that, there needs to be repercussions. Like, people need to freak out.
For me, they did. Like, they started throwing rocks at me.
Sometimes.
But not, I see what you're saying. The
it doesn't affect the story.
Doesn't.
Nobody goes, Zeke never goes, hey, did you really steal the life force out of that lady? I heard news that you're able to kill people at will.
It's interesting that, like, Quo could still talk to you. You know what I mean? Even
that's a mistake. Yeah, there's a mistake in the game where she still is like, you made a good choice.
Yeah.
You're like, aren't you frozen somewhere right now? that's a slight
bug.
Oh, I didn't
even notice that part because I was playing on the other one.
But if you play on the good, they kidnap her, and then you make a good choice, and she's like,
she has that automated response.
She comes in and like, that was a good, I'm like, is this a pre-recorded message from Cole? Because I just watched her get kidnapped.
Well, Kevin, it has to be pre. It's what it is I think that Cole records these affirmations from these women so that he could play them back to himself, whether they're there or not. It's like an inner voice that he has.
Yeah, he's just remembering the last
time.
They're
the angel and devil that sit on either shoulder.
And who uses a Nextel phone anymore? That's all. Beep, beep. Like, does anybody know
what that is? It's a post-beast-elliptic world.
Who turns out to be,
So you want to wait to talk about this Penn and Teller?
No, but you were something about... Oh, I was saying, so the thing about Red Dead Redemption, really super long game, right? Maybe the longest game you've ever played.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
But it's over. And, like, maybe now you have another chapter that will go on for a little bit, but it will be done as well. If you play DC Universe Online, I'm warning you now, it doesn't end. The game is built to never end.
See, in that aspect, I want to see what that does to me.
It's a Facebook game. That's good.
I don't like Facebook games. I've yet to find a Facebook game that I'm into.
My brother got me into Empires and Allies, and I was playing it pretty religiously for a few weeks. And then one day I was just like, oh, yeah, I got to go into my city and collect my money. Why do I want to do that?
Yeah, right?
I don't understand.
I tried
because the game is
garden
built
or something
to make you pay. Like, if I paid money into the game, it'd probably be pretty fun because then I'd be able to build stuff and expand the city and make it interesting. But I don't feel like I should pay for a game whose the entire intention is just to be a money suck for me, either a time suck or a money suck. But that's what DC Universe is going to be, is that you'll never be done. Kat loves the game of Guild Wars because it's an infinite checklist. And every time she does something, kill 20 char.
She gets a little like a happy feeling.
Yeah, exactly. It gives her a line goes through the item on the checklist. And then you got another one thing. It's just like, we got to go to this part of the town. Done. And a reward. And then your character glows. And then money comes in. And you're like, ching, ching, ching. And maybe some new shields or a new skill or another person to join your party. All right. Now what?
Portal 3, where are you when I need you? That's so funny that you just need that little reward. Little,
yeah, exactly.
Little fish.
Oh, but when I test. Oh, when I test.
Exactly. Are you being Kat right now? Because I don't know the test reference.
No, it's from Portal.
That's right. Now
you
I
made the
it.
Reference.
I'm stupid. I'm horrible at this. Well, that's our show. Hope you enjoyed it.
Did we talk? We somewhere back there we mentioned downloadable content. I did want to bring up and fighting games. Both of these things came up tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, because we have this video.
I did want to mention that Capcom versus Marvel Unlimited is coming out, and I went into the store to see. I was gonna either get that or the first Uncharted, and I was like, "But isn't the new Marvel versus Capcom coming out?" He said, "Yeah, it comes out in a few months." But with 12,
I felt like one just came out.
Exactly, less than a year. They're doing the same game with 12 more characters, so like Ghost Riders in it.
Why?
And so okay. I said, oh, okay, so if I get this first one, can I get those characters as DLC? He says, no. But they're having a special deal where you can trade that game in and get a special and pay to get the upgrade. I'm like, I'll just wait until the next game comes out. Why not make that DLC? Yeah.
That has to be them
eventually,
testing.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Them thinking, here's what we're going to do. We're going to try it this way and just see if psychologically people do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't, it doesn't make an
ounce
of sense.
I'm willing to bet money that there's a creative team that was sitting there that plays games and is passionate about it. That's like, no, let's just do it as DLC, guys. And then there's a marketing person who's like, no, listen, we're going to make more money if we do two video games because the hardcore fans will buy two of them.
That's probably true.
And then they're saying, no, the hardcore fans are going to get pissed at you because it's an obvious money suck that you're trying to do. And they realize that because video game fans aren't stupid.
Right.
You know what I mean? They know what you're doing.
We know when it comes out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We know. We're not. It's a different vibe. It's a different vibe than just a dumb person who just buys stuff.
Or, you know, like, what's it, that old comedy act? Craig a T or Craig a Tor. This one has a finger slightly crooked. It's like, they're not action figures. They're like, I need Ninja Turtle with a sword and then Ninja Turtle with a battle axe and then Ninja Turtle with a black hat on. I just want to play the game.
Yeah, exactly. That's all.
I'm like, I'll wait.
And then what they do is they discourage what is essentially, like, if you're a politician, everybody's competing for the moderate vote.
Yeah.
You know you're going to get the Republican, or if you're a Republican, you know what I mean? So you need the in the middle, the swayer, right? The swing vote.
Yep.
So a moderate fighting game fan such as yourself is like, oh, let's just get this because it'll be fun. Now they've discouraged you. Now they're not getting any of your money because you're like, well, then I don't need this. And now they got to wait for this game to come out, and you're probably going to forget. You know what I mean?
I'll buy something else.
Exactly. You'll put your dollar into an Uncharted game that you'll enjoy, and then everybody's going to be like, yay, Naughty Dog.
Exactly.
And that's
which
how
is,
it goes down.
It's what I yell at home all the time.
Yay, Naughty Dog!
Chicken biscuit.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
I'm loving it.
I like this. Speaking of the fighting game, is that Brandon posted on our Facebook this YouTube video. Go to the Facebook page. I don't think it's worth, like, because there's more visual stuff.
Yeah.
It's just the audio.
And boring. It's boring to listen to. I was
bored.
But
like what Kevin said before, this is when we're like, we need to turn the microphones on, is that...
Stop saying golden things without recording
them. It's a great idea that is poorly executed in the form of a trailer, in that it's just, there's these huge gaps of nothing, when they could easily have said that in 1 minute or less, said, hey, look, we put Freddy in a Mortal Kombat game, and it is awesome. And then, like, here's him stabbing somebody, and here's a little bit of Freddy's backstory, which I thought that animation was cool.
I wonder if that's an industry trailer, like, that's meant to be a behind, the, like, to sell to...
In industry, it's even too boring.
Well, what I'm saying is it might be more meant for, like, Toys R Us, and I send that clip to Toys R Us so they can go...
Loop it in their store
and,
or whatever?
No, so that as the manager, Toys R Us can go, oh, okay, that's what that game's about. I'll order X amount of copies.
I don't think they have
because,
that.
No, they do. I know they do. Because we used to do them for Sly. They're like, they'll say, this is
nobody's
never going
to see this.
Yeah,
this
is
for
just
a manager to Toys R Us.
Exactly. They said, this is just to get.
But it has
people.
To be more than just the manager. You're talking about like a regional area.
Yeah, exactly.
Sales.
Okay, and Toys R Us is probably a bad example because they're going to naturally buy things. But the idea is it's an industry thing to get people interested about buying it. And not even like E3, and maybe that video is from E3, where it's going to be, because a trailer for that, what I'm trying to say is a trailer for that is simply like the Mortal Kombat shield and then Freddy tearing it up. Yeah. Like, got it.
I'm in.
That's all I need.
And that
to
creates
see.
More anticipation than being able to see him actually fight. And
yeah, and so since it's so deep into the story, I feel like that's somebody that's going to be investing in it. That's like, oh, I need to get a. You can't just tear the shield up with Freddy Krueger. I need to get, do you have a story in here? What's your gameplay going to look like? Is this a game that's going to last my customers 10 hours or 50 hours?
They're showing Freddy fighting and interlacing it with a VO of the backstory of how Freddy, the origin story of Freddy.
Poorly
done.
And I
think it's because Freddy is the last movie's 6 years old. Since they did a Freddy, was it a Freddy versus Jason?
I feel like we just had a Freddy movie. No, we just did a rebirth.
Let's look.
a return of the Freddy. I don't.
Oh, they did
this.
Just do a new Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah,
you're
they,
right.
They make those.
But
movies.
I think it's been at least 3 years, at the very least.
Oh, I'm gonna vote two. Hamana. Two
okay,
years.
That's the original.
Years.
Nightmare on Elm Street was 1984.
Oh, that's it. 1984. That's what I was thinking.
Nightmare.
About.
Let's do the Wikipedia for
yeah,
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Why don't you just wiki that pedia?
1984 was a franchise. Oh, Johnny Depp was in the first one. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Did he play Captain Jack Sparrow?
Does not say.
Did he play Willy Wonka?
Does not say.
Was he Edward Scissorhands?
Yes, he was. Wait, no. I'm sorry. Robert England was as Edward Scissorhands.
Was he Sweeney Todd?
I think that Johnny Depp was reprising the role in Edward Scissorhands. They don't show the other one.
Bastards.
I know. So angry. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, they just have the 1984. Maybe I have to add like 2000. What do you think it is? 2009?
Yeah, I think 2009. And that
like
feels...
It. 2010! Wow.
I was going to say, it felt like just last year. But...
Wow. That feels like so much... Wow, it feels way
yeah, it was
earlier.
A, it was a reboot. Because
it's the guy who played Rorschach, right? What's his name?
Yeah. But it was a reboot. It's the same story. And I actually liked... I was interested to see what they were going to do. Because the people get insomnia. And when you have insomnia, according to the trailer, you don't know when you're asleep or when you're awake. And so they're like in class. And suddenly it starts to... They're dreaming and they don't realize it.
Yeah, it was. I really liked it, to be honest. Jackie Earle Haley. Isn't that the guy? He was also in Watchmen, wasn't he? As Rorschach?
I don't... What's that?
You don't know what the Watchmen are?
Hmm.
Nope, I'm thinking I'm the wrong guy. I'm thinking of the wrong... Oh, nope, yes. Boom, nailed it. Walter
well
Kovacs.
He was also in Macbeth.
What?
Macbeth.
You can't say that here.
Macbeth.
What else do we have? What's the, oh, we wanted
I
to
wanted
play-
to ask you about... I also wanted to look at my blog where I ranted about all the different people that dress up as Captain Jack Sparrow. There's in front of the Chinese theater, people dress up as Johnny Depp, and there's always like...
And they look nothing...
No.
Like, it's and like the, I have scarves on my head,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I have a dreadlock wig,
like,
and I'm wearing a poofy, blousy shirt.
And
leather boots.
The Princess Tickler. I don't know.
The what? I'm sorry?
Princess Tickler.
What Pirates of the Caribbean version did you watch?
Oh, wait. Pirates of the Caribbean? Damn it.
Those bastards.
Not. No, but there's like, you can see Willy Wonka, you can see Captain Jack Sparrow, you can see Sweeney Todd,
there
Edward
is
Scissorhands.
New trend of Johnny Depp's.
Yeah, like, Alice in Wonder, the Mad Hatter, and there's like a sixth one. I put it in my blog a while ago where I was like, you know, and I on my way to work, I have to pass people dressed up as da 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 da, and there's a sixth one, I can't remember, I listed all of them. But I've seen them all. Like, there are people out there. What would be another?
That's where we would do that bit that I was talking about at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
That would be the perfect place to get, what's his name?
Johnny Depp.
Something Garfield, or what's the kid that's playing? Andrew Garfield, isn't he the one playing the new Spider-Man?
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the new remake. Yeah, like, get funny. Him in a Spider-Man outfit, taking
that's
pictures
perfect.
Out in front of the Chinese theater. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Do you know my buddy Bill S.978?
No, I don't.
Why don't you Wikipedia Bill S.978?
All right.
I've been interested in your opinion on this. I think we may have mentioned
Bill S.
There it is.
978. On Wikipedia?
Sure, somewhere. Yeah. Don't read the bill. Oh, why don't you read that for us?
Bill S. 978, or the Commercial Felony Streaming Act, is a bill that is pending introduction to the United States Senate floor. It was proposed by Amy... Klobuchar,
but... It's not English. It's just not a word.
Well, Klobuchar, but for some reason I thought I was about to fall prey to like an IP Freely and say it's somebody who does not want somebody to have a good time, if you know what I'm saying. Chris Coons and John Cornyn on May 12, 2011. It's an amendment to USC 2319 Title 18 that would make unauthorized streaming of copyrighted material for the purpose of commercial advantage or personal financial gain a felony under current law. Unauthorized streaming is only a misdemeanor. Oh, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Yeah. Under current law, unauthorized streaming is only a misdemeanor. The penalty could include up to 5 years of prison time, and it defines illegal streaming as streaming 10 or more times in a 180-day period. Furthermore, the value of the illegally streamed material would have to be greater than $2,500 or the licensing fees would have to be over $5,000. Several articles have been published expressing concern as to whether the bill would affect those who stream or post videos of copyrighted content, video games, TV shows, music on public sites such as YouTube. The bill does not directly address this aspect, although it is unknown whether the law would be enforced as such. There has been an outcry with several negative reactions against the bill on YouTube and other websites. An example of one of these websites is demandprogress.org, a site where over 150,000 people have signed on to oppose the bill. Both Klobuchar and Koons have stated that the bill is not intended to affect the aforementioned aspects. Instead, it would only target websites or people who profit from illegally streaming copyrighted materials.
Right, and that's what I think is so funny, and we've actually had, I've had a few minor dialogues with a few people on the Facebook page, that from everything I can see about this bill, it's only to stop unlicensed pirate streaming on the internet, of taking, of like, broadcasting the Super Bowl via stream, mm-hmm. not YouTube videos of you playing a video game or yeah. us talking about video games and playing some of the music in the background. All that's copyrighted material, but that's not a streaming feed, and we're not using it in an unlicensed way. So I don't know why. I have yet to see why so many people are concerned in our gamer community about this bill.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think like what if it, especially this last line where it said that it's not intended for that. What they're saying is that there are people who are pirating multi-million dollar blockbuster films,
right.
that are taking money that could potentially become tax dollars to the government.
Yep.
They're taking that money from being made by the people who made the movie, mm-hmm. and then that's not coming back to the government. So the government says, we're going to create a law so we can get our slice, because in order for us yeah. to get our slice, they have to be able to get their slice.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's all it is. It's not about a guy who decides to pick up, you know, Metal Gear Solid 4 and play it through to show somebody how to play it through.
That's not what it's about.
That's not
because
what it's
you
about.
Don't, and that's not even the point, because you're not going to watch that video and not buy the game.
Yeah.
But I can right now, thanks to technology, set up a server with my entire DVD library. I mean, this is what Napster did wrong. And then you go onto the site and stream one of those videos and watch it and pay me. And they're saying you can't do that. And
yeah.
you can't do that.
But you could, I think, unless I'm misunderstanding, you could also put your entire library of DVDs online, and as long as you're not charging, there's no difference. I think that's what the other idea was for Napster, was that Napster, I think, was only making advertising dollars based on the traffic. I don't think they were actually charging for the service.
Yeah, that's correct.
That's how they were legally using yeah. the share rule, that mm-hmm. it's like, well, is it illegal for me to pop a cassette tape
yeah.
in my my car uh-huh. and listen to a song?
Like, and
if
it was
you
PTP.
Decide to say, hey, listen to this Coldplay album yeah. because I like it. That's what Napster was saying they were,
yeah.
when in actuality, technically, they were a free music distribution site.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was making their money off of advertising on the site, like Google does, kind of
right.
thing, right?
Yep.
So you could, you
and then
could
he,
post...
he helped make Facebook. It just, and Justin Timberlake should have gotten the Oscar.
Yeah, right? Shouldn't have. I mean, imagine that career. You not only are you a member of the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, uh-huh. right? You're a Mouseketeer.
Yep.
Then, you know, listen, I'm going to be a little great. You deflower Britney Spears.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. She's toxic, from what I understand.
Your joke was much better than mine.
No, but I mean toxic in a good way. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then later, he wouldn't know this. It's hindsight now, but, you know, became toxic in a social way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah.
Now she's bouncing back. I'm sure she's going to be fine.
Yeah.
She's got two kids. Everything's golden. You know what I mean? Then you're walking
Both
around.
Britney, though, right?
You fall in love with a Cameron Diaz. Sure, you have fun with her, but then you're like, you know what? I'm going to settle down with a Jessica Biel. Why not?
Yeah. Somewhere in there, he punched Kermit the Frog in the face on
yeah.
Saturday Night Live.
Of course. Who wouldn't want to do that?
Break it on down to Omelaville.
He does that. Yep. You know what I mean? Then, in that time, he finds time to not only create Napster, but also help start Facebook, to only end it by doing a rom-com with Mila Kunis, and yeah. then back with Cameron Diaz in a rom-com?
Yeah.
Kind of rom-com, not really.
I mean,
kind of
doing the same movie that was out earlier that year. I'm confused on who we're talking about still.
Uh-huh. Justin Timberlake?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. JT, as I call him.
Yeah.
We're friendly. We go to Lucky Strike Bowl.
You went old school.
I yeah. did. That's how I go.
JT, JC, AT, and the other
and
JT.
I can't even... He brought Sexy back. You know
was
what
that
I mean?
Him?
Yeah. He was... You right. know, I thought that, you know, I never even knew it left. Thank God he brought it back. You know what I mean? Because...
I like that guy. Can we get him on the show?
I would love to get him on. I have this is a stupid, like, one of those things that people do when they, I know somebody who knows a famous person or whatever. And one of the guys in the cast that I was that tour manager for that FMA show. He was friendly with Justin Timberlake.
Man.
And said, dude, that guy's hilarious. He's so much fun. And while we were working in LA, that's where I got the Lucky Strike reference, is that he went and bowled. At with Lucky Justin Strike with Justin Timberlake, and they went to those like neon rock and roll late nights, and he was a dancer, and so him and Justin Timberlake are dancing and stuff, and you know what I mean?
That's
like,
cool.
Yeah.
Did you go or you saw pictures?
No, I didn't see pictures or anything. No. He was just telling these stories. Man. I just know, like, I know it enough to where that's a stupid lie to tell. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I didn't see anything.
I remember when we were young and he was just on whatever. Backstreet Boys. Who was he?
NSYNC.
That's it. And I was thoroughly unimpressed with him.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then he started doing comedy. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That guy's smart.
Yeah. The first episode of Saturday Night Live.
I was like.
Top shelf.
Yeah.
Top shelf. Like, he's still, honestly, he's like the Alec Baldwin of this generation as far as hosts for Saturday Night Live. Like, he's the new one that all the kids, and rightly should be, that are like, this is funny.
I can't wait for Cookie Monster to host an episode of SNL.
When's that happening?
Eventually. I mean, that's how they got Betty White to do it. It's just the big Facebook push for it.
No, you don't. I think that was a reverse thing, that she was slated to do it, and then they did that thing. You don't think so?
Oh, no. As far as I understood, there was a big desire within the community of, like, Betty White needs to host SNL before she goes to the great... Before she joins Dorothy or all the other Golden Girls.
See, I don't understand why there isn't more of that. Like, why not have that's such
vote your host.
Yeah. Like, with reality TV being what it is now, why not just have this thing where you're like, hey, let's get Joe Schmo on the show. You know what I mean?
Well, I think it's because if I'm NBC, I don't want to taint, I don't want to mix waters. Yeah. SNL is a show that's been on the air for 25 years. It is doing just fine. I don't need to bring in this reality TV fad to muck it up. Like, so if you're saying the show...
No, I don't want it. Here's what I want. Oh. What I want is there to be a wild card in the host slot of Saturday Night Live. And that wild card is that there's the possibility that if enough people are interested, Icy Fudge shows up as a host of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Maybe... Yeah, that, I mean, is
you know what I mean? Like, but a 12-year-old kid from Wisconsin is now the host of the biggest sketch comedy show in television history.
Then there has to go the other way around of, like, is say we all do vote for Betty White, and she, the whole Facebook community says, we want you to host Saturday Night Live, and she's like, I don't feel like it. You know, so how does that...
They don't publicize that. I guarantee you that if that's the case, they talk to her and they keep it down. And then maybe she decides to be smug about it and goes, I don't want to do it. But there's going to be a second place person.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? Because immediately following that thing where then Betty White goes on it, she's huge success. Yeah. Very funny episode, right? Then all of these people, like, I got three invites of fans of comics that I know because I happen to like them on Facebook.
Want you to...
They're like, let's get Angela Johnson on Saturday Night Live. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, let's do that. Let's get this guy. Let's get this guy. You know, all these people need to
the
host
beast
Saturday Night
has
Live.
Spoken. The beast.
Thanks for bringing it back. But you know what I mean? Like, I think that would be awesome.
I'm on board. I love this idea of a wild card slot.
Yeah.
I'd vote for you.
Oh, that's right. Because of this bill S-97.
So, in our expert law opinion, this bill does not affect you or us. Go to sleep. You can now.
Yeah, calm down. If people are really worried about, like, it's kind of like what I was talking to your wife about, is that in my opinion.
What?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Right. Sorry.
Yeah. In my opinion, like, if you look at these laws. The government is, and I keep going back to Icy. Maybe I miss him. Maybe I need to talk to him again. But
you know, government does not care. Listen here, Icy Fudge. I paid for my part of that PlayStation 3. You have yet to post on the wall.
He already apologized for it.
Not on the wall.
Yeah, he did. I saw it. I could have swore I saw it. He goes, it was just a joke, is what he said.
I don't remember that. And I look at the Facebook page all the time.
Well, I hardly look at it.
If I'm wrong, somebody has already called me out on it.
And an email where they give us the notes as we're reading. So I think that, what was I saying? The government doesn't want Icy Fudge. You've got a kid in Wisconsin who's playing video games and decides to post a walkthrough. They're not, the prison system is overcrowded enough with with who's in there. Like,
right.
I think that a lot of politicians and not politicians, activists,
people who like to speak blowhards, I guess is the word I'm looking for. Like you say, oh, there's all these marijuana people that shouldn't be in jail that are in jail, taking up space, blah, 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 blah. You know, the last thing they need is to lock up a bunch of nerds who are posting a walkthrough of Call of Duty. Nobody cares about that. Or their kill shots on Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about what we're doing. They just say, yeah, you go ahead and have fun. What they're really
and
worried
furthermore,
about.
Furthermore, the game people don't. They want you to post that stuff.
Yeah.
If I develop a game, I want you to put clips of it on Facebook.
Yeah, that's free promotion.
Free ads.
Yes.
Thank you. I didn't have to do it.
In the podcasting world, there's a thing that if you're not charging, I don't even know if this is illegal, but there's like there's this rule that is kind of passed around that if you're using like music, you know what I mean? Like when we play that robot rock song, we don't have the license to that.
Yeah, yeah.
But if we were making money now, then technically we're supposed to give a cut to them. But nobody cares, you know what I mean? I mean, we've got a lot of listeners on the show now, and nobody's coming after us.
At least eight.
Right?
At least eight people.
And these eight people, influential people.
Mm-hmm. Justin Timberlake, Betty White,
yeah.
Cookie Monster.
Icy Fudge. Icy Fudge is a mover and a shaker. He makes stuff happen with his YouTube account.
And the other two are wild cards. But they are...
That will be chosen by a Facebook page. Yeah. All right, we got to go. That was our show.
You wanted to bring up that. Bring up that.
Oh, well, I just thought it was cool. Is that Caleb Fish, our good friend from Insert Title Here show.
.com.
He said, hey, just listen to the cosplay episode you guys did. You need to see these pictures. And he has steampunk DC Universe guys. They're steampunk.
They
Superman.
Look very much like the same people that made the Star Wars steampunk stuff. I wonder if it's the same dude.
I don't know. I like this idea. Remember the guy? Oh, you didn't. He was after your time. But
what
he says
on Superman's.
But then he also said it's an S that is made of metal. It looks
like there's
rivets and stuff.
Got it.
He says, my buddy's made a version of LARPing, which I have renamed Lamming. Live-action medieval battling. You take PVC pipe, cut out foam to make a weapon or shield, then wrap it in duct tape. It's epic. I gotta go. That's why I wanted to read that.
Just for that? Nice.
I like that Caleb treats his emails like he's on the phone with us.
Right.
Like,
thanks, bye.
Hey, guys, I just want to call you real quick. I don't have time because I got a lot of stuff going on here, but I gotta go.
I also like in this picture of the DC steampunk is that Batman looks like Batman.
Yeah.
There's absolutely nothing steampunky.
His cape is suggested to be leather. Like, maybe that's
but
it.
So is Batman's. Yeah. I do not see. Like, he just took a Batman figure and he's like, oh, crap, I forgot to make Batman. this guy'll do.
Wonder Woman only has a weird hairdo and a denim skirt.
Yeah, she looks like a Victorian. She looks like Martha Stewart.
No. Who is this guy supposed to be right here?
That's Mr. Freeze.
Oh, good one. I like his George Lucas beard.
I think that, or that could be Marvin the Martian or whatever that guy's in.
We should put this on our Facebook page so
that
people can see what
we're
talking about.
DC nerds can tell me what it's all
about.
We
gotta go.
Okay, where are we going?
That's been
that's the sound of
yell at people.
Over.
Please don't yell at people. So, you can give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@secondfunniespodcast.com. Go nuts with the emails. Next week's going to be an email episode, so holler back at that. Email episode after that, I'm going to try and get Kevin in front of Penn & Teller's Bull-S episode about violence in video games.
Bull-asterisk-T.
Please continue to tell your friends about the show. Go to secondfunniespodcast.com. You can email or share an episode on Facebook that is your favorite. Keep telling more and more people about the Facebook page. We're up to 439 people.
439.
Like
it was down to 438 earlier today and then back up to 439. I don't know what's going on.
But I can't thank you guys enough for everything you've done, telling everybody about the show. I feel like there was another thing I wanted to say during this time, but for some reason, this is why I need to write stuff down. So, on behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying,
okay, bye.
I'm leaving.
Fluffy Egg McMuffin.